Page Ayin Tes Halacha Nun Zayin. Anyone doesn't have, there's a safe over here. There are two more on top over here. Anyone doesn't have, there are two more. Okay, let's begin. We're on page Ayin Tes Halacha Nun Zayin. Okay, a little halacha today, a little halacha, a little agada, a little musar. Baruchi Nafshi, you have a volume? Oy, oy, oy.
It's
funny,
I was just here, but I didn't pay attention.
Okay, Baruchi Nafshi Es Hashem. May my neshama bless. May my neshama bless Hashem v'chol kiravai, and all of my inner organs. Oh, Mr. Thurman, the Professor Thurman. Shalom Aleichem. Moedi v'Rabbi. It's my Rebbe, my college professor. Come through here. Baruchi nafshi es Hashem v'chol kiravai, may my neshama bless Hashem and all my innards. Kiravai, all of my internal organs. They also should participate in blessing Hashem Hashem Kosher, Hashem's holy name. So here the Sefer Chassidim picks up a Mamre Chazal and takes word Kiravai very literally, meaning that a person has to go to the Beis Hakisei to be bodik himself before he goes to the Beis Hakisei. Don't come with organs or a stomach that's full of human waste. Remember what we learned yesterday, we said on the animals. On the halachas of making brachas in the presence of animal waste. Well, forget about animal waste. Let's say there is waste in one's own body. Afilu kiravayim shel bnei adam ubnei bnei ayim, even the kiravayim, the organs, whatever is inside, all of the inner portions of a person, shel bnei adam ubnei bnei ayim, and the stomach, what's the stomach, tzrichim levarech es Hashem, needs to bless Hashem. Lefichach, therefore, tzarech livdek atzma yafeh. When a person comes to daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before you come into the daven, you have to first clarify. Oh, sorry?
Take care of business.
Make sure that a person, his body is clean before you come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not no'eh. It's not fitting to come into the Beis HaKis, to come into the Beis HaKnesses with a bet in the stomach, mole tsoya, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, levarcho, to bless Hashem. Because the pasuk says, v'chol kiravai, all of your internal organs are also participating in blessing Hashem. And if the beten is mole waste, which can be released, because the body can release the waste, it's not proper to come. Period. That's one halacha, the halacha that a person, is a basic halacha, a person has to go to the Beis HaKisei before he comes into Davin. Halacha l'maisa, what happens if a person does not do so? So there's a very big question if you actually yoytzei davening. If a person really has to go to the Beis HaKisei and he daven Shemoneh Esrei, he's not yoytzei, he's mechuyev to daven the Shemoneh Esrei all over again. Yimamish not yoytzei. The person's in the matzah where he immediately has to go to the Beis HaKisei and he doesn't care. He just gets away with it. He just gobbles up the Shemoneh Esrei. Lo yotza yidei chayvasei. If a person can wait a little bit, a person can wait, let's say, can wait a period of time, but cannot wait. I think the shir really is 72 minutes. I think that's what the shir is. What it takes to walk 4 mil. How long does it take to walk 4 mils? Approximately 72 minutes. So then, b'di'eved, you are yoytzei, but l'chatchila not. When do we have this discussion? We learned this when it comes to, we spend the whole shir on before you sit down to eat. Before a person sits down to eat, he has the same obligation. Do not sit down to a meal unless your first boideik, es atzmo, you inspect your body. Do I need to go to the Beis HaKisei? Will the need arise during this meal for me to step out and go to the Beis HaKisei? If the answer is yes, then don't sit down to wash. First, take care of business. Who says this? The Rambam says this. I'm not sure it's found in the Gemara Mamish. But the Rambam says, and when you learn from that eating is an avodah. We all know when you eat, the table, your dining room table, is the mizbeach. And when you're eating, it's as if you're bringing a carbon. Last week's parsha. V'ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem. Mikan shabolim oichlim, shakohanim oichlim, uba'olim mischaprim. It's a very unique principle only in Judaism, that kohanim eat from the sacrifices. In the pagan world, when the sacrifice are offered to gods, it's unheard of that a priest should be permitted to eat from a sacrifice. The sacrifice is not to the person, it is to the god. It's unheard of in the secular world, in the pagan world. This was a novelty in Yadus that Hashem says that by most of the korbanos, or korban shlom, korban chatos, the vast majority of korbanos, that the kohanim and the owners eat from the korbanos. When you eat lunch, when you eat dinner, you're sitting at a dining room table, the table has the status, zeh hashulchan asher lefnei Hashem. And the shulchan is the mizbeach, Chazal explained in Sefer Yecheskel, and you're offering a sacrifice. And just like the kohanim, when they eat, it's a service. It's the eat l'shem shemayim. When every person eats from their food, it's also a service. You're davening. When you daven, you have to examine your body. Your body is clean. Therefore, before a person sits down to eat even a meal, he has to first inspect his body if he is able to finish the entire meal and bench without having the urge, the need to go to the Beis HaKisei. And if the answer is no, he's not going to make it to the end of the meal without needing to go to the Beis HaKisei in the middle, then don't even start. First, go to the Beis HaKisei and then begin the meal. And when you spend the whole shiur, if you go to the Beis HaKisei and you make an Asher Yotzar and you wash your hands, how now are you allowed to wash netilas yodayim? Your hands are already clean. So we spend the whole shiur on this, right. And basically halacha l'maaseh, we pass like the Mishnah Berurah. You should touch part of your body that is normally covered. Touch above the elbow. Touch above the elbow. Now you mechuyev. Touch your hair. Touch your hair. Now you mechuyev to wash a new netilas yodayim. And then there's the shig of the gra, and the gra says no. Wash once. And make two brachas. First, make netilas yodayim, and then make asher yotzar. Okay, two halachal ma'is over there. Two different approaches. That's a different side topic. But the point over here is that there are two things that we do every single day that we have an obligation first to inspect our body if we need to go to the Beis HaKisei, and that is done one before we daven, based upon the pasuk of Baruchi Nafshi Es Hashem V'chol Kirovai, all of my innards. All of my internal organs has also to bless Hashem. And if my internal organs are filled with waste, then it's not going to be a proper way to thank Hashem. Therefore, first go to the Beis HaKisei. And the number two is before you sit down to eat a meal, a person should view eating the meal as if he is offering a sacrifice to Hashem. It is a religious service. And a religious service demands that a person's body be in a state of cleanliness. Okay.
Rabbi, if someone has a medical problem and you can't do that,
no, so it all depends. It all depends, like a catheter. A person does not have a guf naki. First of all, tefillin are very, very makbid. If a person cannot maintain a clean body, will cannot prevent himself from passing gas while he's wearing tefillin, he's exempt from wearing tefillin. Tefillin tzrichim guf naki. And if a person, the different levels, if a person's really sick, then you're right, then he's exempt from davening to a certain degree. But a person, let's say, has a post-surgery, there are certain procedures where the person has to wear a catheter, that's fine, because that's an involuntary action, and it's contained, it's concealed, it's contained. Okay, those are special medical issues which there are normally solutions. But a person who's talking very sick, then it's a very, very big problem. It's a very big problem in nursing homes where people bring people to participate in minyanim. They bring people into a room on Rosh Hashanah, they want to daven, and they bring them in a wheelchair or sometimes even in a bed into a room where they're davening shachris, and they do not have a guf naki. If they do not have a clean body, it's problematic if they can be part of the minyan. Number two, it's problematic just them being there, because they can, their situation can prevent other people from being permitted to recite blessings in the presence of of human waste. So these are indeed real medical issues, but in many cases there are solutions to solve the problem. Okay, now also, by the way, when is the third time you do this? I don't want to go into some gory details, but the third time this is done is Rahman Litzlan, Le'aleinu, at a Tahira. After a person leaves this world, Achaneh Ve'ashrim, one of the things that the Chevra Kadisha does, I don't know all the details, there are different minhagim, there are different opinions about this, I'm not familiar, it was called the Bedikas Pinin, is that one of the things that the Chevra Kadisha does is to clean the body on the inside. They don't just put the body in the mikvah and put clothing upon the body, they put on gloves and they clean the body from the inside. Because when a person is buried, to a degree, this is like, it's like the person is being brought as an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the whole Kiravai, it's not just the external, it's the internal. And therefore, everything should be clean. And part of being clean is what they call the Bedikas Pinin. There should be no waste, human waste, in the body. So this is something which is done by a Chevra Kadisha, and there are health issues involved for the people that are involved doing this. Okay, there are dangers, and precautions have to be taken, especially Rachman Glisson, there are certain people who die from contagious diseases, so there are very complicated issues, and each Chevra Kadisha has their mahalich in dealing with all these type of related issues. But there's a very important principle in halacha called v'chol kiravai. It's not just the outside, it's the inside. And that demands, before davening, before eating, and a tahara as well, this principle of what is doing inside your body, period. Now we go to the next principle. Another halacha that we derive from this rule called v'chol kiravai, and that is to shuckle. When you daven, now not everyone agrees to this. This is something we the Sefer Chassidim. He is entitled. Cholatz Moisa. There's another pasuk. So he is not even saying Cholatz Moisa. Here, the Sefer Chassidim is very interesting. He's bringing out this point from the word v'chol kiravai, is that when you daven, it's not just your mind. You have to shake your whole body. Your whole body. That's what we're saying right now. Your whole body is participating in davening to Hashem. There is a minhag Yisrael, obviously, to shuckle. Not everyone shuckles. Rav Moshe Feinstein did not shuckle when he davened the Shemona Esrei. Lubavitch Rebbe did not shuckle. The Satmar Rav, what does Satmar Rav do? You have to go study all the Gedolei Yisrael, what they did. Okay, what they did. Now the Lulvin Esrog, Rabbi Yisrael, you shuckle. The Lulvin Esrog, they don't get a choice. They're not given a choice. They have to shuckle. They get shuckled whether they like it or not. And the Hadah and the Arava, he gets a beating on a Shana Rabba. So there are times when, and they refer to different Jews, right? The Shana refers to the Jew who is Arava, Leitan V'Loreach. The Jew that has no Tan V'Loreach, he gets beaten up. The Arava is, I'm sorry, the Lulav. The lulav and the aravis nadasim, so they have to shuckle. They don't get beaten, but they have to shuckle. The esrog, it also shuckles a little bit. Okay, whatever it is, but there is such a principle of shaking your body when you daven. Even those that do not shake their body when they daven the shmoneh esrei, I believe they do at some point in their davening have the custom to shake their body. Other parts of the davening to fulfill what it says here, v'chol kiravai, all of my insides, everything should participate. And as the pasuk of Meir quoted, kol atzmoisai toimarna micha moicha, all of my bones shall declare who is like you, Hashem. So here we go inside. V'tzoch l'nanea kol gufay b'shas ha'atud d'chsev. Here he quotes this pasuk of v'chol. I thought it was built on my mistake. It's gold in this pasuk as well. Call atzmoisai toimarna Hashem micha moicha. Which way do you shuckle? Back and forth or sideways? Which way do you go? It doesn't make a difference. Okay, they say the malachim holoich v'shoif. Malach, there's another source. We have already three two sources. Kol kravai. He's not focusing on that pasuk. He's focusing on kol atzmoisai. But they really both of them are similar. And then there is the malachim are holoich v'shoiv. They are described as flickering flames. A flame that flickers goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Malachim, when we daven, we resemble the malachim. We put our feet together like a malach that has no knees. A malach that stands stationary. It's an oimed. When we daven, we are stationary. Malachim are holoich. They go up and they go down. Holoich v'shoif. That also is reflected in the gilui bira'adah. You rejoice with trepidation. When you rejoice, you move upwards. And then you realize you're getting too close. Can't take the heat. So you withdraw. And then again, you repeat the cycle. You go up to Hashem. Enjoy. And then you feel the heat, the trepidation, and you withdraw. So there are definitely sources, more sources to go up and down, to go like this, to shuckle forwards and backwards, which is holoich v'shoiv, like the malachim, than to go this, to turn right and left. However, there are, I don't remember them at this moment, but I remember learning this a little while ago, there are definitely sources to shuckle sideways as well.
It's the reason when you shake this with yes.
What?
Shake this way, it's yes.
Yes? And you go this way? That's only an American convention. That's only an American convention. What? Minig Yisrael Torah. Minig says there? He means it down? So Gomez says no. So what does no mean? What are you saying? No. No to Averis. I don't want to do Averis. I only want to do mitzvahs. No to the... Yeah, yeah. Could be this way. He says it's fine, but anything that we do is just a convention. Look, in America, thumbs up means... Great. In other countries, a thumb up, yeah. I don't want to say it out, means the same thing as putting out another finger.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes. You got to know which country you go to.
Once had a bank, he dealt with a company that turned out the Koreans.
The Koreans, yeah.
When Koreans go like this, it means yes. And they go like
this, oh, okay. Right. Sign language. Body language. Body language is a major, major topic. Okay, it's a major topic in halacha and psychology. It's a world in of itself. Symbols of your hand, sign language. It's a world to itself. You can't. With most of what we do is just a convention. It's where we think that it's the whole universal. It's not. You go to another country, you have to be trained.
Yes.
Don't dare go like this to someone, boy. Going like this to someone means you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to do that in another country. And if you just said the Koreans, if you go like this, it means no way. And you go like this, it means yes. So if you're giving sign language in a business meeting, you're in a lot of trouble. You're sending the wrong signals.
Also, if you smile,
yes.
By Orientals, it's a bad sign.
It's a bad sign. You have to be serious. Right, so you got to be very, very careful. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
I had problems with that.
A holoich v'shoiv represents up and down. I don't remember. There's other yom shaking, but the point is to shake the whole body. Not just to shake your head, to shake your whole body. Call out smoysa tamar nukah, be like the malachim, holach v'shoiv. However, many gedolei Yisrael did not twitch when they daven the Shemoyne Esra. Moshe Feinstein was once summoned to come before the Russian government, before a judge in Russia, and his life was on the line. He was a Rav in Russia, and there was persecution, there were pogroms, who knows, and they had to come, and his life, mamash, hanging in the balance. And he said, he felt the pachad of the aim of the Malchus. And he noticed that when he was in a state of terror, his life was on the line, he didn't twitch. And he drew a kal v'chomer. This is the way a person feels when he stands lifnei melech bosar v'dam. Al achas kam v'kamo, when you lifnei melech malchei hamlochem, you should feel the aimer. You shouldn't twitch. And that's why his minig, when he davened Shemoneh Esrei, he didn't move. And many other Gedolei Yisrael didn't move. So, but it says he's supposed to move. B'stam, he moved during Birchas Kriya Shema, Pesukei Dezimra. Other parts of the Tzvila is where you bring out the expression, kol atzmoisei tomarna ka, tomarna micha moicha. Okay, next halacha. Guard your raglayim. Now, what does it mean? You should guard your raglayim. Shelo yu raglech rag lecha mitu nafois. they should be clean. We discussed this yesterday with regard to pets. Pets in halacha. Chayot machmod. Chayot machmod pets. Animals which you cherish, which you love, pets. So they have a tendency to release waste all over your property. And when you step out into the street, you may actually step in this waste, even small amounts, and take it with you into the Beis HaKnesses. So we learned yesterday, when it comes to a dog waste, it's no big deal. Dog waste in halacha is not called waste. As long as there is no odor. As long, odor, forget about it. That you're not allowed to daven if there's an odor, an unpleasant odor. But if it's just there is no odor, and it's present, even from a distance, dog waste is not in halacha called waste, because the dog does not eat the chaneshes mine dagon, the five types of grains. Cat waste is a big problem, because cats do eat the chaneshes mine dagon, and if it's present, even though you do not smell an odor, it is forbidden to daven Shmoneh Esrei, and even the litter box, because the litter box is miyuchet for their waste, even if the waste on the inside, the whole litter box can be a major issue if it's in your presence. It's a very big problem. Now, here it's talking about a person walking in the street on the way to the Beis HaKnesses, and there's human waste. In times of Chazal, 100 years ago, they were not blessed with indoor plumbing, as we are today. It's probably one of the greatest blessings that we have today, not the internet. The greatest blessing in society are two things: indoor plumbing and a washing machine and a dryer. Those are probably, we don't realize, the two greatest inventions in this world. You can get rid of the internet, all technology, but you cannot get rid of indoor plumbing and get rid of a washer and dryer. It makes a world of a difference. Shlayu raglecha mitu nafas. You walk to the shul, you step in human waste, you're in trouble. It says, you can only cross the Kachli Yisrael, prepare yourself. Now he's going now into a new principle. When you come into Shul, you don't, when you're coming into the Beis HaKnesses, it's not like walking into Lord and Taylor's. You're not walking into a department store. When you come in Ella, Yisateif, you have to put on a talus. Envelop that. Yeah, you have to remember this 800 years ago. They had different standards. Different standards. You shall envelop yourself, liyos lefonav be'ema uveyira uvechavoy. Three expressions. Period. Anu shaholchem lefnei adoyin kol aretz yisparach shema lachas kam v'kama. If this is how you dress when you go in a place of honor, how much more so have to be careful lachas kam v'kama sheish lag l'sadim liyos lefonav be'ema uveyira. Period. Oy Elohim. Now here is something very, very strange, something very, very bizarre, hard for us to relate. And everyone here struggles what this means. Oy lohem, woe loisam hamamtinim milhisatef mishabos l'shabos, kidei shlo yis chaku alehem b'nei adam. People who are embarrassed to dress in a talus during the weekday, they come to shul and they daven shachris without a talus because they're embarrassed to be seen coming in. It seems that when you wore a talus, that you got dressed not in shul like we do today. Today, where do you put on the talus? In shul, in the sanctuary. If you want to be really religious, you'll put on your talus in the lobby, in the antechamber, and you'll walk into the shul dressed in talus and tall. But no one today, you don't see people today, at least in America, walking in the street to shul dressed in talus and tefillin. Maybe on Shabbos, not even on Shabbos. Yeah, that's so common. All right, sometimes. The talus, only because the film. Why? Doesn't say that over here. That's a chiddush. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't say that over here. Because you're saying people, they only would get a talus, wear a talus in the street to come to shul. It seems from the way he's describing society in his time, it is unheard of to put on a talus in the Beis HaKnesses. It's disrespectful. The sanctuary had so much dignity. We can't even relate to this. The sanctuary where you daven had so much dignity, it's unheard of to even to put on a talus in shul, let alone talk, idle chatter in the Beis HaKnesses. You come into the sanctuary fully dressed in your religious garb. So where are you going to get dressed? There is no hallway. ancient times, they had no lobbies. It's in no vestibules. Very rare. Even look at the old. Go look at the Bialystok shul. Go look at the old. If you could find an old shul, the old shul. So the Bialystok shul has no lobby. You cannot go from the street straight into the sanctuary. They have a little teeny sliver, right?
You are correct.
The main sanctuary. I'm not talking about the basement and all the additions they built. Look at the old churches. Go look at the old, even the churches. Go look at the old. Look at the old architecture.
The old
shuls were outdoors,
actually.
Outdoors, not necessarily.
It was open.
They had a chotzer based on Knesset. They had a chotzer. There was a chotzer based on Knesset. But the standards, go in Europe. You have to go to the old cathedrals. They had significant size as vestibules. I don't know. You have to study. Listen, I don't know anything about this, but this is what appears from Chazal. It appears from Chazal that go back 800 years, that synagogues, they had no vestibules or teeny little things, just maybe to prevent the cold air from coming in, like at the restaurants. They put these little things outside so the cold air shouldn't come in. They didn't have this. You go from the street into the sanctuary.
Yeah. Is that you do this type a little bit because the women go
one way and the men go the other way. But that's it. That's it.
Maybe 4x4.
Today is unheard of. Today you build anything today. You have to build a massive. That's the standard. There has to be a lobby. There has to be a significant area you come in, and that area is proportional to the main sanctuary. You build a building. How big is the base medrash, the shul, based upon the size of the actual shul? There's a standard of how big the lobby has to be, and it has to be pretty big. Otherwise, it's a fire hazard. Otherwise, it's this. Otherwise, that. There are codes. There are very major codes. So we have a hard time relating to this. But if you want to get an example, go to the Bialystok shul on the Lower East Side. And there you'll see, you go up these magnificent, gorgeous, stunning, they've redone this in millions of dollars to renovate it, to refresh, to renew it, and there's no lobby. You go up these big steps, and you go in, and the lobby is the size of this table, probably. You go in, into the lobby, and you go right into the shul. So, and the sanctity was so great, you wouldn't even dare put on your towels and tefillin in the sanctuary. So where are you going to put it on? In the street? Of course not. You don't do the street. In your house. And you walk the shul dressed in towels and tefillin. I don't want to walk in the street dressed in towels and tefillin because they're going to make fun of me. My goyish neighbors, they're going to make litzanis. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to be different than the goyish world. Now, we're not even talking about cleanliness. Those days probably that was also an issue. Be careful. Don't step in anything that's not clean. But there's another issue. You don't. So what do the people do? They only would wear talis on Shabbos. This is a problem, an issue that he had in his day 800 years ago. We don't have this problem today. We have bigger problems. Much bigger problems than this today. But today, what? So he's saying that you have to, obviously, there has to be a balance when there's not, but he writes over here, O Elohim, woe to those people. It's very hard to understand what he's talking about unless you really take you back in a time machine and understand the culture, understand the society that he's relating to. Oy lohem lo'oysam ha'mamtinim, they delay, mil hisateif, from enveloping themselves in a talis, mishabbos l'shabbos, only once a week, because the only place they can get dressed in the talis is at home, and walk in the street to the Beis HaKnesses, go on the bus, go on the train, and in the process, they're going to go, people are going to see them,
they had horses then, so they had horse waste within the street.
That's another issue. That's what he says. That's what he says over here in the beginning. That's another issue. They came because the odor. Right. Horses do not eat grain. If I'm not mistaken, right? Is that correct?
Hey,
horses. Their horse waste is not a halachic problem as long as there is no odor. Okay, if we. You do feed oats.
Of course.
Oats, then it's different. I forgot. Then it is a problem. I take it back then. I don't remember. Then it would be a very big problem. Even if on the person's shoes is a small amount of waste from a creature who eats one of the five grains, you're not allowed to daven. You're not allowed to make a bracha even if there is no odor. But if on your shoe there's little waste from a creature that does not eat the 5 grains, if there is no odor, then you're allowed to daven. So today, our main issue today is really dog waste. In Brooklyn, the main issue is dog waste. And it happens, people come in on their shoe, there's a small amount of dog, because I don't clean up the dog. You don't even realize there may be some small waste. As long as there is no odor, it says in the book, Pets and Halacha, it's okay. If there's an odor, it's not okay. But if there's no odor, even if you can see it, it's not ma'akev at all in the tefillah.
Let's...
Because that's equivalent to a human being. That's equivalent because we have halach in the Torah, we have a makar of the chisisa, it says in the parash by Mulchama, the yosei tiel lecha lechutz, yishav a shovel, the chisis, the loy, and the pasuk goes on, v'hoya machanecha kadosh. So we discuss this human waste in the Torah, in Parashas Kiseitze, and it says, V'hoya machanecha kodosh. If there is human waste in your machaneh, the machaneh is not kodosh. You're not allowed to daven. Any creature that is similar to a human being, umoysar odom min abehema, oyin. There's no difference. Man and human being in regard to these matters, there's no difference, and therefore you have to be very careful in this matter. Let's go further. Yeah.
They talk about bread, but it used to be the people were sleeping, the homeless were sleeping.
That's right, it's a problem. If someone is sleeping and they pass gas, well, passing gas is not a problem because passing gas is not, it's never shame by mamish. Ain't by mamish. But if there is actual waste that's not covered, it has to be exposed. If there is human waste or animal waste that is just covered, it's good. One covering is enough. You don't need a kiss, b'shech kiss. One covering is enough. Provided there is no odor. Let's go further. He writes something that's so bizarre. I don't know what this means over here. They're not concerned. Shema Yemusu. They may die. And they're not going to give honor to a person who gave them the garment. Shekasavlov Yisparach Levushei, your clothing, Kislag Chivar, is a white garment. Valeyem V'alkayoyitzebuchem Nemar, Yochin Tzadik, a tzadik prepares, V'rosho Yilbosh, and the evil, someone else. Now, so what he means over here is that, first of all, he's alluding over here to many things. First of all, he's alluding over here to a white talus. Okay, that's one thing we'll get to in a moment. But first, he's talking about that a person will not have an opportunity to thank Hashem the way he should before he dies. It means, if he's going to wait until Shabbos, if a person will die on Shabbos, very good. So then you dive into Hashem, your last prayer was proper. You were enveloped in a white garment, similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is enveloped in white. These are very strange things. I really don't have clarity. Maybe we'll read the Mepharshim to try to lighten up a little bit with the things over here. But if a person dies in the middle of the week, so then he's dying, his last prayers were done in a matzah where he was not properly dressed. Let's maybe look at the Mepharshim over here, give a little bit explanation of what he's trying to say. Let's look at the second line on the right side. Oy Elohim, woe to these people who do not put on a talus during the week. They only wear a talus on Shabbos. Melesatef mi Shabbos la Shabbos kedei shelo yischaku aleim b'nei adam. Ratzon lomar, mamtinim, they delay. Melesatef b'talus. Shederech la'asois lavon, the derech is the talus should be white, not multicolored ksoinis pasim like you can pick up in a nice Judaic store. Okay, now we have black lines on the talus, I'll get to in a few moments. Ad mishabis l'shabis, shederech lilboish begodim lavonim. It was the custom in his time on Shabbos to wear white clothing, not black. Avol b'chol, these people, they're embarrassed. Einam loivshim talis lavon. They do not wear white clothing. Kedesh lo yischaku alehem, Lifi Shem Derech Belavan and Bechol. It's not their derech because the society in the community in the Goyim that they work with do not wear white garments. So they don't want to look funny wearing a white garment to shul, to be seen in the street wearing white garments. So they get dressed up in dark garments and colored garments. They come to shul. So they don't want to wear what?
Nothing changed.
Oh, wait, one sec. So they're embarrassed. In society, they wear multicolored garments. They want to blend into the goyim. And therefore, they're not going to walk in the street wearing a white garment, the way they really should wear when they come to shul. So they wear multicolored garments, and they come to shul. Woe to these people, because they may die in the middle of the week. So what? What does that mean? The one who gave you the garment. Shema Yemusu Koidem Shabbos. Sheratzu Lilboish Oisei Beged. And you'll want to wear, the person realizes he's going to die in a few moments. And you'll want to wear a white garment when you're dying. It's very strange. Velo Yuchlu Litin Kover Lemi Shenosan Kutontoi Atzma. What does that mean? The Hainu Talis Lovon Shudimus Levush Atzmuso Yisparach. The one who gave you the white talis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your white garment, the white the talis is white. He's telling us over here a very fascinating principle. Why is a talis supposed to be white? Because it resembles the levush of Hashem. Hashem is infinite. We have no understanding of Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do have an insight from Shir HaShirim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu envelops himself in a white garment, whatever that means. Therefore, being that we want to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam, we also wear white. Hevei doime eloi, ze keili v'anveyu, be like Hashem. Kaviyocha, whatever this means, Hashem envelops himself in a white oiter or kasalma. You say this pasuk before you put on talis, oiter or kasalma. We want to emulate Hashem, and therefore a person, if he will die prematurely, suddenly, will not be able that his last prayer can be in the way it is proper. The hainu talis lovin shudimus levush atzmuso in this book is the levush of the essence of Hashem. Shekosuf, it says concerning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, levushei, his garment is like snow, is the color of snow. Kiseleg chivar, white snow. Shemibnei ze anu loiv shem gam kein b'chol talis lovan. Shebeze anu noistim kovoid, we give anu liHaKadosh Baruch Hu, lislabesh, to get dressed, b'levanim demus, similar, levusha yisparach. The Yim Kain, and therefore now he explains this very bizarre thing. Im Yamusu, if a person dies suddenly before Shabbos, he's not going to be able, it's not his last prayer will not be in the garment that's white, that is meant to have an opportunity to give kavoy to Hashem properly before he goes. Im Yamusu lo yuchul nitin kavoy. I'm baffled. I really don't relate to this. It's very hard to understand. Yeah. A guy's going to die. You have to be chayish. You're going to die so suddenly that you're not going to be able to go get someone. You'll go home and get your talis and daven one more tefillah. You have to take this into consideration. It's a little bit strange, right? Obviously, this is a very, very hard thing to deal with. And also, but one thing he does, we take out of here a few things. Number one, you learn here, incidentally, the chashivos of the last prayer before death. That's something we take out of this. It's very bizarre that he's telling us you have to be chayish for such a thing. Ad kedei kach, make sure every davening that you do will be your last davening, and you're properly dressed for every tefillah, because it may be your last tefillah. That's a very hard pill to swallow, halachically. You have to be chayish, you're going to die suddenly? We all know we're going to die. Everyone knows that. But you're going to die this moment? You have to take that into consideration? All right, he's saying yes. Obviously, that's not the minhag ha'olam to be chayish for such a thing. But what we do take out of this is that if a person does know that his time is near, he's 120 years old, and the doctors say, you know, you're 120 years old, your time is coming very soon. There is a chashivus, a very significant chashivus in the last tefillah. and that it should be correct. It should be proper. That's what it's saying. Number two, he's teaching us a chiddush that the clothing of Hashem is white, and therefore that's the reason why we wear a white talis. The Sardim go all the way. They only wear white. Your talis is white?
Right.
No black.
No.
No blue. Oh. No state of Israel on it.
It will be similar to the Hashem.
Why? Purely white. You have white stripes? Shiny white stripes?
Yeah.
Do you have shiny white stripes in your talis?
You
do? Oh, you do have shiny white stripes.
No, no.
You're not a purist. He's not a purist.
White.
Arois. Arois. Out. What? No, no, no. Already, already. Ois gefrekt. I don't want to know from you already. That's it. That's it. Ois gefrekt.
I have a white and white.
You have a white and white?
No, no.
You
I
wear?
I wear Yom
and Arois. Okay, the Minhag Yisrael is to wear a white talis with black stripes. Why black stripes? It's a zecher for techeles, which means that if you have that, which means if you have the real techeles, this is my taino on those people who wear techeles, which I'm not taino to them. If you're wearing techeles, then get rid of those black stripes on your towels.
Why would black stripes?
Because you have the techeles, right? Yeah, if you're wearing the techeles, if you're going over, I have the techeles, I have the murex. I have techeles. I'm a treilis person. I have the Zina treilis, I have the Murex treilis, I have Herzog's treilis. So what do you have your black stripes? The black stripe is only a zecher for treilis.
What's the blue stripes?
What blue stripes? So the blue stripes is one of two things. Right, but let me just say my piece. One of two things. Either it's kavod, and that's not a joke, this is a kavod to Medina Yisrael. Okay, is no nachasidim. What about chasidim? What about blue stripes?
Bells has very dark blue.
Oh, so that's the color of tcheles. Tcheles. First, what is the color? One thing at a time. There are people that doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, they're wearing the blue. There's no. It's a minig. It doesn't work in any way to be able. It's a minig to wear to have the stripes. Why do they have so? So people. So are people today who are. It's a kavod to Medinas Yisrael. This the flag of Eretz Yisrael is blue. Mogin David is blue, so religious Zionists, it's a beautiful thing for those people that I have no time, it's none of my business. It's a very big covet. People have given up their lives for the Medina, their family. Who is anyone to say boo to people who have given up their lives, who serve Erichol, defend the land? That's what some people have in mind when they wear the blue, a blue talus. Other people, it's a combination that since Techeles, we have a tradition that Techeles is supposed to be blue. It's a bluish color, whatever that means. We don't really know what Techeles is. We have different possibilities. The Murex of Herzog had a Techeles, and the Zina Rebbe had a Techeles. There are three things you can buy in the store today that they sell most popular. 90% of what's available today is the Murex from Dr. Goldstein. He has an institution, and they are very convinced that they have the correct chelis. And many Gedolei Yisrael have taken them very seriously, including one of my rebbeim, Rabbi Belsky, Zechet Sadek Levracha, who privately wore the Murex chelis. He privately wore the Murex Chelis. There are many other Gedolei Yisrael who also wear privately, some even publicly. But it's not because it's a Vadai. It's a Sofik. It's a Sofik. It's not a Vadai. What is the color of Chelis? Well, Rashi in one place says it's Shochor. It's black.
Right.
It's black. It's not blue. It's black.
Right.
If it's black, so we have a Zecher on the garment. The garment is incomplete. There are black stripes. We're waiting for the day when we're going to discover the true Chelis. Others say, no, we don't pass him like that, Rashi. We pass him that Chelis has a bluish color. But we don't know what shade of blue. It may be a very dark shade, like the Ritzina. The Ritzina Chelis is a very dark shade. The Murex is a lighter shade. Maybe it's none of the above. Maybe it's all of the above. Maybe they're all good for Chelis. We don't know how these things work. Maybe you have certain characteristics, it's good enough, whatever it is. But it's a shade of blue, and because we do not know what shade of blue it is, so we have black.
Right.
Black is beautiful. just to match, just as a zecher, there's something missing. We don't want to get into the machlekes what color it is. Just make black. Make it black and make it simple. If you're going to put blue stripes on your talis, you're telling me, oh, zecher le-tcheles. Oh, this is the color of tcheles. You know, that's misleading. Because you don't know what Kol Tchelus is. So some are a little more liberal. Today, it's too boring to have a black tallis. Tchelus is supposed to be blue. So you might as well put a blue stripe. And if you're also a shtickle Zionist, you can identify with the Medinas Yisrael, goes well hand in hand. That is a svara. Doesn't say you can't do it. He doesn't say you can't do it. Okay, it's not the end of the world. I know there are people that will never put on a talus of blue stripes, even if their life depended on it. You come to a shul as a guest. You come to a shul, a guest in a young Israel, and they and you don't have a talus, and they say, oh, "I'll give you a come. Put it here. You need to make give an aliyah. Here's a talus." And you look at the talus and it has blue stripes.
Yeah,
you're horrified. Okay, there are people like that.
Well,
there are people like that, right? Oh, they sell what they sell. Oh, I'm gonna try now. Wait, okay, so but all we need to point out is that there is a minhag Yisrael. There's a minhag Yisrael to wear have black stripes on a talis as a zecher that there is something missing about our talios, and that is we're missing the tchelas. Traditionally, the color of the stripe was black. There's no how many lines, thick lines, the new designs. Every couple of the years, they have new designs. There's a whole lot of shigas of how many stripes, black, thick, how many inches, v'chul, v'chul. That doesn't mean anything, but there's a minhag Yisrael to have black lines, zech of the talis. But what should the color of the talis be? Iker hadin doesn't make a difference. Four-cornered garment is chayiv in sittis. The minhag Yisrael for all generations is white. Why white? We just learned it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oiter Or Kesalma, the Pasuk in Daniel says, Levushay, in the vision, Daniel had Levushay Kislag Chivar, white snow. And therefore, the Sefer Chasidim goes to such an extreme, you better make what?
A vision of what?
A malach.
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, he goes so far to say every single day you should wear a white talis because it may be your last tefillah, and you have to give cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave us our existence, who created the talis. Whatever this means, made your garments, who gave you clothing, malbish arumin. And therefore, the last tefillah counts. Make sure it's been done with a white garment. We do know that there are in Eretz Yisrael. There are many people, there are groups of Hasidim who wear, they take this Chazal very seriously, and on Shabbos, they only wear white garments on Shabbos.
How do we know his distinction between a Talis
Gadol
and a Talis
Katan? No, there's no such thing. That's a new thing. A Talis Katan is a new thing. It's a whole new world. Let's not go there now. We're out of time. Let's discuss the garments. Yes.
Usually, according to the specialists in the colors,
yes.
Green,
yes.
More similar,
Yorov.
Blue.
Yes.
Why they put black? It should be green.
Green?
That be green.
Because
green.
There are many shades. The answer to your question is there are many shades of green. There are no shades of black.
No, it's more similar to blue than
you're
black.
Right. You are correct, but there are many shades of green. What green? What green? There's not one color green. There is a whole selection.
Black is dark black. Is not recognized.
There's only one black. There's only one black. That's it. There's no choice.
Any green.
No.
That be more similar.
That's like
to
blue.
That's
misleading because maybe Tcheles is green. We don't know what Tcheles really looks like. We have the different possibilities today. We don't want to make any Maris sign. We have black stripes, but the color of the talis is white. Because of this pasuk in Daniel, and in fact in Eretz Yisrael there are Hasidim that wear on Shabbos only white clothing. Period. By the way, on the back, he writes something very, very short. This is Nogei Halach Lemaisa. Very, very bottom. He writes that people have a bad midah sometimes. They Friday night, they're too busy to change into the big day Shabbos, and they come to shul Friday night in the big day Chol. And he's very critical. Look on the bottom, what he writes over here on the bottom. He writes, V'tzorich, look on the left side of the column, the Bris Soilam, Oyelachem Loisim Amamtinim L'Hasadim B'Negot Shabbos. On page Pei, on the bottom left column, Vani Oymer, who's writing this? There's a parish called Bris Oilam. It's a parish on this. I don't know if it's an early parish, a later parish, I don't even know who wrote it. Vani Oymer, Oyelachem Loisim Shebelel Shabbos. Einam loiv shemal b'shabbos, elam mispalim b'dei chol. They come back from work late. They just put on a jacket. They're still wearing their big deichol, and they fake it. They fake it, and they go to shul wearing big deichol. They make believe they're wearing big deishabbos. V'arabayker until the morning lo yilbashu big deishabbos umischalelim oz hadar oz the hoid. The Oz Hadar Kedusha Shabbos, the splendor of the sanctity of Shabbos. Ubolrem Zeki called Yisham Lihidomas Lagoyim. They won't be like the Goyim, they're too busy to work. Shabbos, not important enough for them. They are Goyim Bemoikesh Einem Levshim Laila. They do not wear in their stumbling, they don't Einem Levshim Laila Ki Heim Oisim Laila Yoim Laila. Whatever this means,
what it means,
yeah,
that their day, their holy day, starts in the morning.
Rock.
So in this way, they're ending uh-huh.
The goyim. The goyim, it starts 12:00. It starts the next day. Uveli das nilkadim bedover chamur she moirim she Shabbos kodesh maschil mehayoyim. The ikar Shabbos is in the morning. Friday night is just new. It's just like a little bit. Umesayim Yom Rishon Baboiker, and the Messiah the Yom Rishon Baboiker, who inyan pelili, this is a horrible thing. Hashem atav yichaper ba'adam, Hashem find for them kapara. So he just wants to emphasize Shabbos Kodesh begins Friday night. Hachon for Shabbos, the kedushas lel Shabbos, especially to wear the proper garments. There's a lot of people that complain that people they don't wear ties, they wear a tie, but mincha already. They take off their tie. So some people, big deal. We have much bigger problems to worry about. Who cares? Some people, some rabbanim, they're very, very, it hurts them very, very much. This is not the way it was in Shonim Kadmonios when we grew up as children. Shabbos is Shabbos to the end. You don't go start taking off. If this is your big day Shabbos, to dress like a mensch, to wear a hat, and to wear a tie, this is how you dress on Shabbos. That's how you should dress until Shabbos is over. If it's not the way you dress, fine. But if this is your big day Shabbos, don't dress down for Mincha and Shalosh Shudis. It's a zilzul in Kavod Shabbos. He only says the problem was Friday night. So he's saying over here there's
that's
a problem.
That's why we dressed during the week with ties when we went to Shabbos.
Okay, years ago. So, okay, some rabbanim said, big deal. Don't. This is not an issue for today. Yesh v'yesh. But we touched upon many of these very fascinating. Okay, very short break. We're talking about Purim Katan. I wanted to mention a couple of things about in Yonai Shol Yoim. Today is Yodal. We'll take a mamish, a 60-second break.